Message is going to be on special singers, not specially. If you're a special singer, you stay. Everybody else can leave. You believe all that. Good to be in the Lord's house. Good to be able to read from His precious Word. Turn your Bible. I'd like you to read with us a little bit out of the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. The 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Appreciate Brother J.W. being with us. I know he's been with Sister Hilda and continues to be, and Sister Hilda just continue to pray for her as well as all the others that are out. And so glad to have Sister Joyce with us. She, as she said so clearly, Brother Ray needs help and she needs to pray for him more. I almost that was how it was worded anyhow. 16th chapter of the book of Acts. We had a lot of time we could spend it, but we don't. I'm going to kind of go and start just a little bit. The Apostle Paul is going to have something that we have not been privy to, not myself, and the majority of folks may claim it, but we're just going to listen to the Bible. Verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathered that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. May we pray to God. Our fathers, we bow. We thank you, Lord, for your blessed word. Oh, God, we're so grateful and thankful, God, for your presence. God, even on days, God, when it seems like the body and, God, the flesh seems to hinder us, it seems like all kinds of the forces of the devil seem to always encounter about us. God, you always have us in mind. God, you're always letting the guidance and the direction of you lead our lives. And I pray that we'll yield to it. God, we'll be favorable unto your will. God, speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Very unusual to think about a calling, this kind of calling. In fact, if you've been in our Sunday school lessons for any period of time, you can kind of see over there in Corinthians, there's a little bit of what, before this ever started, It had to be a starting spot for Corinthians to ever have the help that they received in other areas. It's kind of like the Lord knew exactly what he was doing when he was calling the Apostle Paul. When he was on the road to Damascus, he didn't know he had letters and he was going to put folks in jail. Little did he know God was going to use him like he did. But the only thing God won't do is God won't force you. You have to be a willing subject. You have to be willing to hear, willing to see, and willing to do. And if you're not willing to do that, friend, God will not force his will on your life. Friend, if you want to die and go to hell, God will let you do that. He'll put Jesus in your path. He will say, here's the light of the world. If you want to be saved and avoid hell, you can do that. But he's not going to force you to go to heaven. That's going to be a choice by you. Listen carefully. There was a vision, and I'm not going to get into all the things about a vision. I do believe it is possible. I do believe this is reality. I believe God can speak to me. I believe God can make the thunder roll and show me a sign. But listen, I want to live by faith, and I want to trust God. And I know God speaks to me, and God speaks to you. And the way God speaks to us is differently. It's all differently. It don't say, well, you know what? On Sunday mornings, God speaks to me and he don't speak to me other time. That ain't the way God works. God knows when to make a visit to your house. And many times he'll make a visit through this blessed word. But in this occasion right here, God spoke to the Apostle Paul. Now what he had to do was he had to get him from where he was to where he needed to be. He was going down the path that he thought he was doing right. I mean, he was not down the wrong road. God just changed his road. God sometimes has to change our direction. We might think we want to do this all of our life, but the Apostle Paul needed to go into Macedonia. He didn't know he needed to go. Friend of mine, when God begins to work in someone's life, God will not give you a message today and change it tomorrow and change it the next day. God begins to work down a road, a path, and as you get tidbits along the way of his will in your life, you're going to see things, all things work together for good to them that love them. You're going to see things start funneling a direction. This was not the case right here. This was bang, vision right there. I mean, wakes him up, gets him. If there was any a lost sleep night, this was one of them. When God visits you, all of a sudden, he don't wait. Immediately, that's what the Bible says. Immediately, he gets, we're headed to Macedonia. That's where we're going. What do you do with the will of God? Now, the Apostle Paul didn't have any kind of problem at all. The Apostle Paul had no problem with God's will. Look at what he said. He said, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathered that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. This man was made a difference in his life in the calling. The calling of God are sure. The callings of God are special. And there's a lot of folks that think they're called to preach that are not called to preach. Now, you gotta understand. You might think you're called, but God will support a God-called man. God will back that person up. God will put his blessings out there for that person. I really believe the Apostle Paul was called of God to preach the gospel. He had every qualification. But friend, he didn't need no qualifications for God to call him. The qualifications are given, that God gives them to us so that we just don't let every Tom, Dick, and Harry, they just go, well, let's just preach the gospel. You're not allowed to open that book and preach from that word unless God calls you. You might do it. You might say it. You might say, well, this is it, and I'm going to be a pastor of a church. There's so many characters out there in the world today that are heading up churches. That don't mean God's called them. Paul had a message to the Macedonian people. That message was no different than anywhere else he had preached.
You see, the message will always be the same. The message that we deliver today will always be the same. It is Jesus Christ. It is none other than Him. It is His shed blood that we believe in. If we don't believe in the shed blood for forgiveness of sin, we're going to die and go to hell. That message is always going to stay the same. It doesn't matter to what people, what nation, what nationality, but here's the difference. Friends, somewhere along the way, those folks in Macedonia needed help. They needed help, and the only way they knew to get help was to call on God. Now, if you go back to the land of Egypt held a group of prisoners in bondage for year after year after year after year. And these prisoners in bondage, they began to pray. One would pray over here, one would pray over there, and the next one would pray over here. And the next thing you know it, there's 5 or 6, 10, 20, 50, 100. They're all praying for one thing, God to send them help. God, send us help. And you know as well as I know, it would have been a whole lot easier if God had sent somebody besides Moses. Because remember, Moses killed an Egyptian. Killed an Egyptian. That ought to disqualify him, because them folks looked around and said, well, we don't want Moses. We don't want him. Friend of mine, if we ask God for specifics sometimes, God may not give us those kind of specifics. There's many prayers that I pray don't get answered the way I pray them. Friend, now I want to call God, and I want to, there's a little section that we're going to read in a minute. I want to claim right now, God, I want you to do what I want you to do. Prayers are not that way. Prayer is a request from old mealy mouth me, somebody saying that I don't have the ability to call on God, but because of God's grace, I can reach the throne room of God. And my little request may not be the answer that God gives. Friend of mine, they didn't say, would you send Paul? God was the one that sent Paul. We must be willing vessels for every one of our houses right now to pray for God's will. You ought to get up every morning. You ought to go to bed every night. You ought to have a prayer on your heart for your home that it will be God's will to be done, not what you want. Folks that get married today, I feel sorry for them in a troubled world. But friend, the only success for a home today is to put God first in that home. That's it. That's the only way it's going to work. Years down the road, when trouble hits, if you put God first in that home, it'll still stay right there. Because God's word's sure, God's word perfect, and God's word will stand when everything else fails. Whenever they prayed for help, God sent the best help He had. God sent the best help He had. If you was to name 10 preachers in this country, let me make it easier. If we was to name 5 good preachers, let me really make it easy. If we could name 1 good preacher in this country, I wonder if God would send him to Macedonia. Now you listen to me. Many preachers have ideas in their mind what success is. And if you're in the preaching business for success, you're in the wrong business. Because preaching the gospel is not about the preacher. God is the one that called Paul. God is the one that sent a man. I said, listen, I need you to head over to Macedonia and help them. If you've ever been around church many years, you've heard about the Macedonian call. This is where this comes from. This Macedonian call instituted a revival, but it was a very difficult revival to begin with. Things don't come easy in church. They don't come easy. You might think all you got to do is come in the doors of the church, sit down, and when they say the final amen, go on. That's not church. Church is whenever you put God first. Church is whenever you come down together and you're praying before you get here. You're praying while you're here and you're praying when you go home. Because, friend, church is when we're centered and focused upon God. And if we're not focused on God, how do we expect to receive anything while we're here? They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Did you hear those words? You must worship Him, not the preacher, not the people, not the message that you might say, oh, this is what I want to do in life. No, you worship God. This Bible was given for instructions for us to live by. Here was a Macedonian call. They left immediately. In other words, it's time to go. But listen, he had the calling. Loosing from trails, and I'm not going to read all the things, but let's go down just a little bit, verses 14. Whenever you go into a Macedonian call, or whenever you go, the main difference is this calling. Look at verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which are spoken of Paul. Right there you might think, boy, howdy. When this person hears about God, when this person, her life has changed, she hears about Paul. Listen, if church was that easy, our churches ought to be filled across America. I mean, filled to the brim. You shouldn't be thinking, oh, look at this problem, look at that problem. Oh, looky here. Friend of mine, if you start thinking, if we went to church and God changed and transformed our life, which He does, God changes and transforms my life continually. I'm saved. But I've been saved for many years. But God has not changed from stopping to change me. That little song that you sing, He's Still Working on Me. Friend, I want you to know when the Hemp Hills put that out many years ago, whenever that come out, it was a spitting image of how God is working on every one of us and should continually work on us on a daily basis. We're not what we're going to end up being, but there's a continual working in us. Lydia would be the easy example of somebody, lives changed and following Paul, but that's not the trouble. The devil loves to put a stop to the Apostle Paul. The churches there in this area, in this region, were facing the forces of hell. Friend, the forces of hell were coming down in the forms of demon possession, witchcraft, all those kinds of things. We think all those things are gone, but they're still prevalent. We put in society all these folks that's killing one another, all these folks that's doing what they're, the violence that they're doing, and shooting one. There's folks that'll just blatantly come up to you and shoot you for no reason at all. You think that's like we are? What if we weren't saved? What if our heart was cold and indifferent? And possessed like demons living within you. On drugs that your mind is so spaced out, you don't know up from down. Friend, we're in a society where those kinds of forces of hell are all about us. And we look and we think, oh, everything's just fine. Friend, when Paul was headed that direction, God needed somebody that would be willing to preach the gospel without reservation. Without trying to blend in, without trying to compromise, but by preaching that same gospel that he was going to preach, he was going to have to stand up face to face against the devil. Don't you think that's what's happening in our country right now? In our country? Now, if we head over to some of the Muslim countries or some of the other countries in foreign land that their religion is very strong and they worship all kinds of things. Friend, one person in a strange land like that, they would say, whoa, man, we're overwhelmed.
But God has a capability of sending one person like he did the Apostle Paul in that strange land and still be received. But we're living the life of Riley. We've got churches on every corner. We got preachers in every pulpit. We got folks that bring their Bible to church. We got folks that's willing to get down on their knees and pray. We ought to have a clear advantage right here, but we're still facing a problem because of sin and how it has grown. Sodom and Gomorrah just didn't happen overnight. Sin got worse. And when it got bad enough, God said, "That's it. We're not above that in this country right here. Let me show you something." So we can talk about Lydia, and we can say, "Oh, this is some wonderful thing." But let me just kind of, and I'm not going to read all the things. And it came to pass, verse 16, we went to prayer. A certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination. She had the devil. Met us, which brought her masters much gain, by soothsaying, witchcraft, demonism. These are the things that we don't like to talk about. We don't want to talk about the forces of the devil. We don't want to talk about the power of the devil. And she possessed that. How did Paul know? Friend of mine, when the Spirit of God is upon a person, we can feel that communing spirit amongst ourselves. We. But when that spirit is contrary, evil spirit, it's like hitting a brick wall. It's like something. It's like nothing goes through. It seemed like nothing penetrates. It seemed like whenever the Spirit of God speaks, it hits a rock wall. Only God can penetrate that right there. Only God can penetrate sin that way. When Paul met up with this lady, she had that kind of evil spirit. Now watch with me now, verse 17. The same followed Paul and us and crying, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation." These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. Boy, ain't that a message right there? Ain't it a message when we have the power of God walking down the street and folks say, "There's God's man." We have the ability to say, "There's God's message, the way of salvation." We're not here to talk about, oh, what kind of person you are, what kind of money you make, what kind of prestige you have in a community. No, we're here to talk about the man of God and the plan of salvation. That's the reality. Churches were not built on things of the world. Churches were built on the plan of salvation. When you present the plan of salvation and folks are saved, born into the church, I mean, friend of mine, born into God's family, they join the church, church gets bigger, whatever, however it happened, and there's prosperity in a church. I'm not talking about finance. I'm talking about true prosperity. It's when folks get saved, folks are living for God, folks rejoicing in God. This is the kind of thing. Now listen. At this particular junction, you've got this woman that's in bad spiritual condition. Now, I want to say I was lost, but I wasn't in this shape. And I dare say anybody that may be here, you was lost, but were you in this shape? You see, whenever you get involved with sin, you can go a whole lot further down in sin that you might think you'll never get out of. There are people today that are so deep in sin, it just seems like it's almost, oh, they're forgotten. But God doesn't even forget one. Not even one. God will send that Holy Spirit of convicting power even to one. Here's this message. Now, I want to give you something that hasn't
been said before. It hasn't been brought up before. The Bible said, and this did she many days. And this did she many days. What? Tell that message. Show that message. All these are the servants of the Most High God. They have the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, listen to the words. Friend, whenever this word was written, Paul being grieved, that meant there was trouble upon his heart, in his soul. You could see it in his face. You could see it in his action. See, when the Spirit of God is blessing, we can rejoice and be happy. But when you're troubled by evil spirits, when you're troubled by the demons of the world, when you're troubled that only God can help, watch this. And Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, not to the person, to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. You've never heard that before. I mean, you read that about, you know where you hear that? You hear that on television today. Folks will claim, boy, I got power with God. No, you may claim you got power. Paul was not trying to make a name for himself. Paul was grieved inside of his heart for somebody that was lost and on the road to hell, and the only thing that saved them is the Lord Jesus Christ. And sin had a grip on them. I'm not talking about your average grip. I'm not talking about the woman at the well experience when Jesus said to the woman that sat thus on the well, he said something like this, I have no husband. Well, that was simple, wasn't it? When Jesus said, oh, yeah, you said it true. The one you got right now, that's not your own. It's easy when you sin lightly, as I'm going to call it. But whenever you're covered up by waves of sin, when your life is in shambles, when it feels like there's no way out, there comes Jesus. And what he had to do first was to get that devil out of the way. Remember the maniac of Gadara? I mean, he was in such trouble that the Lord said to the demons, get out. Get out. And the demons answered and said, Lord, don't judge us. Don't trouble us before our time. Don't do that. He cast them into swine. Friend, that's out of our league. That's out of our league. We want to deal with the easy ones. But friend of mine, the soul of a lost person is very precious. We are all very precious in the sight of the Lord. From the least, whenever you reach the age of accountability, to the eldest, we are all precious. It's the amount that devil has infiltrated the life of individuals today that just seems to be surmounting more and more and more. And on this occasion right here, Paul commands the Lord for that demon to come out. Now, if God told me to do that, I would do that. But I expect the Holy Spirit of God in my situations to deal with the hearts of man. Mine is to preach that gospel. Does that make it Paul wrong? No, he was dead on 100% right. And he was giving us an example. There's going to be cases that we will sometimes be around. Sometimes we might have to deal with. And if it's done, it can't be done by man. It has to be done by God. Man cannot cast out a devil, but God can. You have to be willing to see your condition
even in a troubled situation. Macedonia, they needed help. If this was in your back door, what would you do? If you got a bad neighbor and all their bad things that they do is they sit up too late on Saturday night, they play their music too loud, or whatever little penny peeve that they might have out there, you know what? What if you had a neighbor that was possessed with a devil? Wouldn't that be a difference? Wouldn't it be a difference whenever you look around in the world and see that they're living in the pits of hell? Their life is so full of sin that they don't know which way's up. Me and you've got it made. A lot of folks around us go to church. But here's the worst. Watch. The Bible said he commanded it. Whenever he commanded it, the Bible said he commanded thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and it came out the same hour. And when the master saw it, the hope of their gain was gone. Boy, that just kind of sets it up. But let me go on. And besought, verse 20, and besought them to the master, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceeding trouble our city. You see, they lost their livelihood. That's all we talk about. They didn't care about the person. But when that person gets the demons removed and God moves in, their lives change. They no longer have that ability to accomplish the things of the world. In other words, prosperity, riches, fame, fortune, all those things was more important to them than the soul of that woman. And if we're not careful, we'll put other things as priorities over the soul of an individual. It's easy done. When Paul was given the cry, come over to Macedonia and help us, the help that Paul provided had nothing to do with the gain of the world. And if we're ever going to accomplish anything in this life, the gain of the world is not our prosperity. We must look deep into the heart of individuals that are in trouble. And they're everywhere. Some of our loved ones, some of our friends, somebody we might just meet just on the random road, they need the Lord. And it upset things. It changed things. When they called it trouble for their city, it was not trouble for their city. Oh, in their aspect it was. But true trouble in their city came. Because when Jesus comes in, sin has to go out. You're here today, friend. Don't let the devil ruin your life. Don't go to the extremes of believing that there's no hope for you. Because with Jesus, there is hope. You must have faith and trust and believe in him just like anything, because his best was sent to Macedonia. Well, like I said earlier, now I'll close with this. If I was to say name the top preacher in the world that God would send, we might have a hard time agreeing. But see, it's not the preacher. It's the preacher's message. And that message that Paul was willing to deliver, Paul was just a willing vessel. And he delivered that message. And that message is what will save you today. That message of Jesus saves. If you're lost without God, Jesus wants to save you. No matter what you've done, you can be saved today. Brother Greg, a song of invitation. I don't know a lot, but I do know when the devil begins to attack, he won't quit. When possession comes into your soul, your life, it's not going to get better. Tomorrow will be a better day. No, sin will continue. And when sin continues, it gets bigger and harder to turn back from, harder to get rid of. It's like that one drug leads to the next drug. That one drink leads to the next drink. That one lie leads to the next lie. Friend of mine, only Jesus can remove all of that from you. May we stand to our feet and sing a verse of a song. God's speaking to you. You come today, would you please?